Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us today. It is October 19th, 2016. Today is Wednesday. It's our interview day, and I had anticipated a month ago I had made an appointment to interview Ray McGovern, and we were unable to connect. So in a real quick spot, my friend Mimi Gurman has agreed to interview with me. She's an activist with No Nukes Northwest, and to be honest, she's a real activist. In fact, as we speak, she's on her way to an action. So hi, Mimi. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome. Hi, everybody.
Hi. So first, why don't you tell everybody what you have been engaged in? What is new on your plate? Because I know you, there's a lot. Like right now, you were involved in a Portland action, but we have an hour, so why don't you talk to us about the things that are most important for you on your heart that you've been engaged in?
Well, there's a lot. In no particular order, I've been involved with farming, small farming, and feeding people. It's really important if we want to get anything done to do it ourselves and never, ever to depend on anyone else, especially governments, to help us do whatever it is that needs to be done because we can be guaranteed that they won't. So, you know, step one in collapse is figure out how to do things yourself. So I farm, and we feed ourselves off of our food, and I take our food to communities in Portland that are in need of organic, good food. And so that's one thing. Another thing is, of course, No Nukes Northwest is our nonprofit now, our newly designated nonprofit, where we talk nuclear issues in the Pacific Northwest primarily, and things nuclear that affect the Pacific Northwest being Fukushima primarily, from outside the PNW. So that's been an ongoing thing for 5 years. And then the other thing that I'm involved with is Don't Shoot Portland in Portland, in my town, has been extremely active for 4 years, and we're finally making some progress, I think. Yep.
Well, what is going on in
it's
Portland?
It's been a while.
I live in Eugene. My daughter lives in Portland. I'm not really connected to the city of Portland. It seems to me just like a regular kind of liberal little city there. What goes on there?
It's a fascist city run by the mayor and the police state that the mayor is in charge of as the police commissioner. So what's going on right now is there's a police contract.
The mayor is the police commissioner?
Commissioner.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's often that way. They get to choose that when they become the mayor. Any new mayor coming in has the right in our city to choose whether or not he or she wants that job. They can also designate that job to someone else, or it can be their position.
Wow.
So each of our city councilors has a designated few jobs, tasks. So one might be water and parks and housing. One might be, in this case, the mayor's is the police. So, so there was a police contract that wasn't due for renewal until June of next year. And this mayor is a sitting, he's a lame duck mayor. He chose not to run again for his second term. Because he hates the job, because he sucks at the job. And it's a truism. He's a truly terrible, terrible mayor. He's corporate. I didn't vote for him. I can't believe anybody voted for him, but apparently they did. So what he's done is, because he's going to be out in less than a month, he chose to force and rush the new police contract, which, again, wasn't up until next June for the new mayor to contend with. So he rushed this new contract in, which has a multitude of very, very bad gains for the police union against the people of Portland. And because he rushed it in, because he refused to hear testimony or abide by the testimony from the public that was given, and then refused to hear future testimony, which he was supposed to have done last week and the week before, following which, after refusing to hear testimony, he tear gassed us, the people, and arrested us, the people, for wanting to take our right to testify against this rushed contract. We are going back today to City Hall. Me personally, I'm going back today to try to get him to not be able to sit in his seat today as the mayor. I would like to try to block him from doing that. So that's why during the show today, I'm going to have to get in my car and head over there, because I need to both sign up for testimony plus be there before the mayor gets in the building to try to block him from getting in. In the meantime, what happened was the contract.
Mimi, you plan on physically standing in front of him?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's an interesting tactic. Do you plan on being arrested?
We'll see what happens.
Wow. Okay.
I never, I shouldn't say that. I have planned on being arrested in the past. I'm not planning on it today. I'm trying to just, really, I would like to block him from getting to his seat. I would like to let him know that he's no longer welcome to his seat as the mayor. What happened this past weekend after the contract did get passed, it got passed in a private room with no one in there other than the city commissioners and the police union, who also wrote the policy that's inside the contract, which we haven't even gotten to yet. There was a big protest outside of the mayor's house. There were about 20-some tents that went up right outside his house, demanding that the mayor come out and talk to people who still wanted to testify, but who got tear gassed instead last Thursday. And the mayor didn't come out of his house. What he did do was he fled. He left his wife in his house, and he split to the next town outside of Portland, to Clackamas, to a hotel where he holed up while we were protesting at his house. And people stayed there through the storm in tents, demanding to be heard, and he split. So for me, his splitting, his fleeing Portland in order to not deal with people who wanted to testify, with community members, for me, makes it impossible for me to not try to stop him from sitting in that seat, which he claims is his. For me, it's no longer his seat. He split. He left. That was his choice. He could have come out and talked to, 150 people. But he chose to leave Portland.
What is the offense about this contract? Tell us what the big primary problem is with him forcing this contract. What's the issues that makes this such an uncomfortable thing that he's doing?
First is that the union was saying that they needed to fill empty spots for hire, that they were short police officers in our city. No one in the community has been making complaints about too few cops. In fact, it's been the first year, I think in 2016, where no one was killed by the cops. So fewer police equals fewer deaths, okay? Let's just be clear. And there were 35 openings, and the police union was demanding to fill those spots and saying to the mayor that the only reason that those spots weren't filled was because they weren't getting paid enough like in other cities. Other cities are also much larger than Portland. Portland is still a town, though it's a very, very big town at this point, which is why I want to leave. I want a village. I don't want a city. So anyway, they decided that they were going to press the mayor to fill these spots by giving them a raise. And part of that raise was going to be used for military gear. As if they don't have enough military gear, which we have been.
You mean they're going to give the cops military gear that's part of their compensation?
So they get that. Sorry?
That just doesn't make sense. That's completely insane. Like, in order to give the police...
It does make sense in a fascist regime, right? In a fascist regime, your whole goal as the government is to keep yourself protected, yourself meaning in this case the mayor, by creating the people who work right under you, the police, to be as fully armed as possible against us, the community. So that's what they're doing. But that's not even the bulk of the problem. So the police won that. They won everything. They won that. They got their raise. They're going out to recruit more people. And in the process of recruiting more people, they also get to bring people in who have retired off the police force, because now they get more money than what they had when they were a cop. So they get an automatic raise coming back into the police force if they want to do that. It's a $2,000 raise for them. It's $2,000 bonus plus the raise that is just, you know, part of the contract. Everybody gets more money. So they get a $2,000 bonus for coming back in and retraining. And then once they're retrained, they get another $2,000 bonus. So each officer who comes in gets $4,000 as a bonus on top of the raise that the police department received as well. Okay? So now there's that. They also don't get to get checked. So for these retired cops, there's no checking on what they've done in the time that they haven't been a cop. Have they abused their wives? Have they killed animals? You know, what have they done? Who's looking into their record? No one. So the public is completely left out of every process that's gone down for this contract, including who's coming in to be these new police officers. Are they people who were working at like black ops for the military? Who are they? We have no idea. We don't have any idea because we're being left out of the process. So those are things that are heinous enough. On top of it, not everybody understands the 48-hour rule. And the 48-hour rule, which has been in place in Portland for a long time, states that a cop who kills somebody gets 48 hours without talking to the public, without talking to the press, without talking to anyone other than the police union and his or her lawyer inside the police union, along with any videotape that might be there. We don't get to see any of that or talk to the cops for 48 hours. In that 48 hours, what they get to do is alter and doctor videotape, alter and doctor their stories, create a news story, do whatever it is that they do in 48 hours, and then in 48 hours, they get to come forward and tell the news story. Now, if you are arrested, you don't get 48 hours. You're interrogated from the moment, if you aren't killed first, you're interrogated from the moment anything goes down with a cop, but they have this 48-hour rule. So what we wanted was the 48-hour rule to be removed with something far more powerful than that. Well, what the mayor did was he told them, the police union, that the 48-hour rule has to be somewhere. We have to deal with the 48-hour rule. The cops said no. So if the 48-hour rule is on this, then they're not even going to negotiate. So the mayor, the coward that he is, said fine. So now what's happening is the 48-hour rule has been dismissed completely with nothing, absolutely nothing in its place. So now, let's say that a cop has a video on him or her body during an arrest. Let's just say they do. And let's say that video is turned on. And let's say that video is actually filming what it's supposed to be filming. Okay? I doubt any of this really happens anyway. But let's just say all of those things happen. That video, once that cop shoots somebody, comes back into the police station with that cop who just killed somebody, and we have no timeline. We have no agreement that we ever get to see that video or when we get to talk to a cop. There's nothing in there anymore about when we get to deal with the cop that killed somebody. So that's now, this contract is now done. It's completed. It's signed. And right after it was signed, the mayor ordered the police to fire tear gas on protesters in City Hall and outside City Hall right after that contract was signed. That's what went down this past week.
The mayor ordered this? The tear gas?
Yes, the mayor is the police boss.
So, yeah, I get it. Okay, now I see why this position. This is an interesting reflection of the militarization of the United States Police Department. I mean, I read an article recently. It was in it's called the Off Guardian. I don't know if it's part of the Guardian, but it was stating that the United States, between 2006 and 2014, they have spent, 67 federal agencies have spent $1.48 billion with a B, folks, stockpiling guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment. So what is it they're doing here? Like, why do our police forces need to spend $1.5 billion while our children go without food and our schools are falling apart and our roads are falling apart and we don't have jobs? Look at how many of our veterans are unemployed. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, my hat's off to
what happened? Oh, let me just say, this isn't me, okay? I am, this is, the power behind these efforts, the power behind these protests, and the energy that is moving all of this forward is not me. The energy behind all of this to make right of all of this, to bring attention to all of this, to the world, internationally, is Teresa Rayford and Don't Shoot Portland. The black community in Portland is coming together. It's becoming more and more cohesive here, as well as friends of the black community and part of the black community coming together to fight these wrongs in whatever way we can. Sometimes we don't win. In fact, maybe we never win. But like you've said in the past, Lonnie, many times, you know, you're going to die trying. Well, that's what we're doing here. We're just moving forward to try to make right of this. And I just want to clear that it's not me. I'm just participating, you know.
I get it, that you're engaged in the process. But I would coach you on this one. I would mm-hmm. on the pinch and eliminate the word try from your vocabulary. Whenever anybody says it, I cannot pass that by. I hate that word. It allows failure. We are putting our best effort to succeed, period. And we may not succeed the first time, but we will be diligent and we will continue until we can't do it anymore. But I really refuse to say I'm ever trying to do anything. Like, that's one of my picky things.
I guess the thing for me is more about what is it we're working at doing, right? What is it we're working at succeeding in? Sometimes it's creating, you know, it's trying to block the contract. Well, we didn't. Maybe in the future, there's a way for us to, by continuing this, to undo that contract. I don't know. I think a contract is a contract, and it's not going to be undone, which is the most unfortunate part about the mayor's rushing this through. But the thing is, too, what are we succeeding in? If not anything else, we are exposing yet again, on yet another day, the new fascist state of the world. And it's everywhere. You know, every single government, except maybe one.
Iceland.
I don't know about Sweden's government. Yeah, Iceland, right?
Iceland,
yeah. So
yes.
I think that We just, at this point, expose what's happening as we go down, you know? And for whatever reasons, it's because, for me, we're alive, and we you know, for me, I want to protect my friends as much as I can, as well as much as I want to feed them, you know? And I can't sit by while this kind of fascistic state, you know, goes down in my town that I chose to live in. Yeah.
And the cops have 40
right.
years to figure out the
yeah.
story. You know, this article says that the...
I mean, honestly, it would just be white privilege, you know. It would just be white privilege to be able to just sit back and say, yeah, well, you know, I'm not. It sucks, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, I'm not. It doesn't affect me. It does affect all of us, and it is.
Well, yeah.
You know, we do have white privilege, no matter what, whether we act or not. We still are a recipient.
Well, for sure. Right.
That's another conversation.
True that. Mm-hmm.
So with this whole militarization, it's not just the police departments. This article says it's the Food and Drug Administration, the Small Business Administration, the Smithsonian Institution, Social Security Administration, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, the United States Mint, the Department of Education, Bureau of Engraving and Printing, National Institute and Technology, and many, many other agencies purchase guns, ammo, and equipment. For example, the EPA spent $3.1 million on militarized equipment. The EPA. You want to tell us?
The EPA. Well, they turn off their monitors so that we don't know what's going on with radiation.
Wow. This is an assault on the people of really the planet. This is why it's important for us to take action. So you plan on going down there and stopping this mayor from getting into his seat, essentially making it
difficult. I know, if not anything else, I don't know if I'll be arrested today. There's a possibility. If I'm not, I'm sure I'm going to get thrown out of City Hall, because I just can't be quiet today. It's just not my day to be quiet.
Well, it's never my day to be quiet. Well, that's actually awesome. I think that's really great. We have about a half an hour, 20 minutes left. Why don't you tell us what's going on with No Nukes Northwest? Because right before we got on the air, you shared with us some things that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'd love to. I got a call this morning from Chuck McCune, who is the owner. Well, actually, he's not. He's a part owner in a co-op called SolarWorks in New Mexico. And the coolest thing about SolarWorks is that it is a co-op. This is a company that makes solar panels for the people rather than for the corporations. And he and his anarchist crew have been working at devising ways to buy powerful modules, solar modules, for us to use for a price that is affordable, again, for us, the people. So he called me today and he said he has an offer that they've come up with. He would like to support No Nukes Northwest, his company would like to support No Nukes Northwest by trying to figure out a way for us to receive solar panels. So I don't know if you guys caught that. So he's trying to find a way to support No Nukes Northwest by allowing us to receive solar panels for our members for a cost that... Go ahead.
That's what I wanted to clarify. It wasn't just
Bonnie?
You. Are you there?
No. For the members of No Nukes Northwest and our friends. So here's the deal. He would like to be able to sell us a pallet of modules, which, if you break it down in money, comes down to 30 people at $250 a module. The modules are big. So that's for one module, plus, I have to look up the term here because I'm not, my solar speak is really limited. Plus a charge controller, which can be used for a car battery or any other kind of battery, which, if the grid goes down, would be ideal for any form of your communication. If you need your cell phone battery charged, it could come off this. If you need your anything, you know, your computer charged up when the grid goes down, this panel can do that for you. You know, just keep it outside, and you will have a constant source of charge in your phone and your computer so that you can connect with whoever else is connected. So the price for that was an entire pallet being sold individually for $250 a module plus the battery, which, as I say, it was called the charge controller. And that doesn't mean that you can only purchase one. You could get more than one module if you want and pay, you know, pay in, it would be twice that, so it'd be $500 for the two modules. But you don't have to. You can just get one. There's not any other solar companies that allow you to piecemeal together your needs. Right. And that's one of the things that McCune Solar does. They understand that not everybody has the same needs, nor does everybody have the same amount of, like, $40,000 to put up a huge, you know, solar castle at your house, you know. So they've done this in a way where you can get what you need as you need it. In return, McCune Solar would like to give No Nukes Northwest $500 for us to use however we want. Now, I can tell you right now, we need kayaks. We need kayaks to prevent these warships from coming in down the river here in June. So that $500 would buy us a kayak or whatever else the, you know, No Nukes Northwest decided we would do with that $500. I'm just saying that's one thing I know we need, you know?
It's coming up in June. Say this again.
So June is Fleet Week in Portland, where the mayor gets really excited about having warships come into our river and dock so that the kids can all come out with their families from Beaverton and get excited about warships and signing up for the military when they become 18. And I want to stop the warships from coming in. So there's a concerted effort here, which I'm spearheading, to prevent these warships from coming up our river. And while we're doing that here, New Zealand is doing the same thing down there. So we're kind of sistering in on this, preventing the warships from coming in. And New Zealand has a lot more oomph on this because they've been successful with this in the past. So I've been talking with a lot of activists in New Zealand on tactics for this. So, you know, these are some of the things that are down the pike. The warships are, you know, we have nukes for war. That is why nukes were created. People forget and they pretend that they're for energy, and then they forget even more and they pretend that they're for clean energy, and they forget that they have their own brain and that what they're being told is a lie. So the idea for today is, remember, folks, you have your own brains. We all need to use them. We all need to clarify. Wake up in the morning and go, what do I need to clarify today? What do I need to get clear on? You know, well, nukes are for war. And war is for killing, and war is for killing the people.
Right.
So
that's right.
That's what we try to stop from happening. Right.
That's right. Because war does not help.
So that's what's going on with No Nukes Northwest.
So, you know, one of the things I really want to highlight here is the fact that you are thinking about June. This is the thing about activism that we really need to remember. A lot of times, like me, I didn't know this business about Portland because I don't live there. But this idea about the warships coming in, the more you speak about this, the more that people are aware of it. Like, I really, until I met you, didn't even realize, I've been here 14 years, that that ever happened. You know what I mean? Like, this is how the nuclear industry really gets away with, just like with these police, the militarizing the police. People are just not paying attention. Like, we are under this impression that our government is functioning to help benefit us, to benefit the people, when in fact it somehow it's transformed itself to see us as its servants. You know what I mean? Like this, that, like this mayor, he views the people who were demanding justice as a pain in the ass, as just a big pain in the neck. Like he doesn't want to have to deal with them, so just spray them with some spray that'll make them go away and teach them a lesson. Instead,
like fucking cockroaches. That's exactly right, Lonnie.
That's it. And in his mind, he's like, well, they're trying to break the system. What this is where the consciousness, the level, when Thomas Ackerman talks about this, it's our conscience. We have ignored our conscience to allow our consciousness to submit to allowing ourselves to be state assets instead of the state is an asset to us. The state ought to be an asset to us. We ought not to be assets on their balance sheet. They ought to be an asset on our, every one of us has a balance sheet. Every one of us has assets and debits and credits. Everybody does. And the government, the reason that we have a constitution, formed a nation state, created this, is so that we actually have the power to put our energy together. And somehow the consciousness of these people that are in power, that are militarizing and spewing poisons on all of us, every single day they've lost their conscience. He has lost his conscience, so that his consciousness now says...
I don't think he ever had one. I mean,
maybe he
that's part of the problem, too. Right. I mean, people have to remember, when you hire a suit for a government position, you get a suit in response. You know? You're not getting... Okay, for instance, a brother here of mine, Jesse Spomberg. He's one of us. He's the people. He houses the homeless. He goes, you know, he does everything imaginable for the people. He ran for mayor for this coming November, and of course I voted for him. And I don't normally even preach voting anymore, because it's, you know, what it is. It's a whole other show, but. I did vote for Jesse because I did want Jesse in there. I don't want a suit in there. I don't want some guy representing, or woman representing, a corporation, representing a, you know, having the fucking audacity to tell its police force, who it is the boss of, to pepper spray the people. You know, so, God, man, think about who the hell you're voting for, you know? And your vote, first of all, it probably doesn't count. But if it did count, oh man, I can't even go on. I'm too, you know, riled up. You know, the voting thing really gets to me, man.
This is the thing. I've been reading, I've been studying my Latin American studies, and we're studying about how in Mexico the PRI had complete control for almost 70, 80 years. And how did they do it? Because the oppositional parties felt like they had no power, so nobody really ever got behind them. Until things got so bad that they people started going, you know what, we've got to actually do something else. So, and ironically, the PRI has, they had one party, they had one six-year tenure with another party in, and it was such a disaster because the system had evolved around the PRI so that nothing got done. The corruption was so bad, all those non-PRI guys, once they got in, everybody looked at them like, it's kind of like what the Democrats do. I was reading it thinking, this is exactly what the Democrats and Republicans do in this country. If anybody outside of the two-party system gets in, it's impossible to get anything done. And so then you lose your power, and this is how they control the state power. However, it's kind of like one of those things. How do we wrestle back our liberties? Because our liberties have literally been taken away. I mean, even this conversation we know is being spied on right now. There's a bill going through the House that is attempting to revoke the authority of the government to spy on everybody. Now, good that it's in there, but what they ought to do is revoke the Unpatriot Act. That would unseat the whole shebang. You know, like, just revoke the Unpatriot Act, because then we wouldn't have the NDAA, the militarization of the police would be illegal. There's a lot of things that would happen. Just that one fell swoop, will that ever get, just like the Price-Anderson Act, will that ever get there? So I applaud you for taking action, Mimi, because it does matter at the local level, it matters, and it does matter who you vote for at the local level. I really believe that still locally, they can't.
You know what, Lonnie, it's true, man. It is. It's, if you're at the local level, it's a whole different thing. I mean, like, you know, it is a different thing because, first of all, it's all temporary, right? I mean, like, if you're coming from where I'm coming from personally, and my views on collapse and climate, I know how temporary all this is. But the fact is, we're still here. And on a local level, if I and my friends can help prevent one human being here in Portland from being killed, then, man, what a success that is, you know?
Exactly right.
And so
every drop.
It's all about the local level. Yeah.
It's true. And the reason that
matters, at least all the ship goes down, you know?
The same reason that they had 20 tents in their backyard, because people know where they live. That's why it matters locally. They're not going to do these horrible things because people know where you live. This is why I encourage the people of St. Louis to just go park themselves on the governor's doorstep. Like, they won't do it. They're you know, they think that's completely rude and, you know, too radical. If I was living in St. Louis, I'd have a tent built right now. Like, I'd be living on the governor's doorstep right now. I mean, it's so outrageous. But and that's why I applaud you for taking action. So you are planning on going down there. So let me just sum this up. I'm kind of nervous because you have to get going. So you're taking...
No, I'm going to be with you while I'm going.
Oh, great. Oh, not really. Well, she was going to be with us. Let me see if I can call her back because she was saying, I'm going to be with you. So let me give her an old ringy-dingy again. Let me call her back. Hold on. This is the music, folks. So hold on. I was trying to sum up everything that she's doing, mostly because she personifies what it takes to be an American, not just an activist. This is what Americans do. As Americans, we have a constitution. I have a little constitution on my desk. And this is why we're doing it, for we the people of the United States.
Thanks for calling me back.
Hey, yeah, no problem. Right, is I was telling them that the reason I was summing this up is this is what it takes. This is exactly what it takes between all of us, is we need to get, all of us need to take action at whatever level we can. And even though, yes, you may not get the actions or the net result that you want, just the fact that you're kind of poking them in the head, you know what I mean? Like, they cannot, we may not win the fight, but I don't think we should let them sleep well at night. Hey, that's a poem, isn't it? You know? Like, they don't have the right to sleep peacefully while they're harming the people. And that's the issue for me. This is why, like, I follow the EPA on Twitter and I make comments to Gina McCarthy all the time. Like, I'm just not going to let her get away with, like, oh, we did something really, really great. No, you haven't. You have done nothing about the one thing that is killing our planet, and that is new radioactive waste. That is just encircling our planet and harming every living being as we speak 24 hours a day. So
yeah.
It's just an outrage. And there is, and speaking of elections, it's so ironic that there is no conversation about nuclear waste at all. They talk about green energy, but they never talk about nuclear waste. So
nope.
So, Mimi, we are going to have you back as we get more on this project for No Nukes Northwest. We're going to get clear on a lot of the answers. How much energy does it provide? How big is it? How do you put it in? How easy to install? So I'm hoping you can come back with us and share that information with us.
Yeah, and if folks want to come into No Nukes Northwest, you can. It's on Facebook under No Nukes Northwest. And you have to go through me to get in. So just, you know, whatever it is, you know, I don't know what the word is, but hit whatever and I'll hit accept. So, and then you begin and you can, you know, see what we're talking about and, you know, join the conversation that way. Lonnie, I just want to let you know, I don't have to hang up if you want to keep talking. I'm good for that or whatever, however you want to do things.
No, definitely. I would love to really complete this because
I'm on my way now to City Hall while I talk to you.
You are? Do you have your phone or do you have your headsets in?
I got a headset on.
Wait, headset.
No, headset.
So you're going to go to City Hall and poke this guy in the eye and not let him into his seat. That's the plan.
Yeah, that's the plan. I don't know. I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping I get there before he does, and I think I will. And I also want to sign up to testify so I can say bridge crane 100 times over. And for folks who don't, I'd like to explain to people what bridge crane is. If you actually look up hashtag bridge crane, you'll see a lot of videos and a lot of articles. This one done last week. So 2 weeks ago, we were supposed to be able to talk and testify against the police union and against this contract. And the mayor didn't let us. He shut down all talks that day, like all of it. He just shut it down and left. Again, he fled. So this is, and he shut down the entire city council. So we couldn't testify against the police contract because of that. So we were like, fuck you. We get the right to do this. So we went back. And what they did was, oh, man, you talk about Okay, so what they did was they said, you people, you can sit and watch our proceedings from another building across the street. And when it comes time to testifying, you can come in if you've signed up to testify. Those of you who signed up the day before who didn't get to testify can come over to testify, but you can only testify on the subject that is currently being brought up in that moment in City Council. So the subject that was being brought up in City Council was the bridge crane. What's the bridge crane? The bridge crane was this, it was a literal bridge crane. It was a bridge crane that needed money from the city in order to do its work on bridges and make bridges safer. So the city was accepting giving Bridge Crane, like whatever it was, $180,000 to come into the city to help fix our bridges. Well, the people who had signed up the day before to testify on the police contract had to testify never, ever using the term police contract, but using the term Bridge Crane.
That's
so
bizarre.
What happened...
So people had to go and pretend like they were talking about the bridge crane and when they were talking about the issues of the contract.
Yes, and so what ended up happening was the testimony, I have to say, was absolutely stunning and brilliant. And it was videotaped. And if you, again, if you look up Bridge Crane, you will see the video from Teresa Rayford, which was absolutely stunning, how she slammed the mayor for all of his illegal tactics by using the word Bridge Crane. And Dan Handelman of Cop Watch did the same thing, and there was somebody else who did the same thing, and everything was Bridge Crane. And if you mentioned the cop contract, the mayor threatened to throw you out, so you couldn't testify at all. And this became Bridge Crane. So Bridge Crane is continuing today at City Hall. Like, we will not let this drop. You know, this is all part of it.
Think about this, Mimi. This is just so the tactics of the fascists, the nuclear industry. This really, really speaks to how deep and how lost the people in who have the power, who get elected, the people that are being supported by the fascists. Like, this really does speak to the lack of, I guess, personal integrity. And what's it for?
Absolutely.
I mean, what's the benefit for? Is for financial gain? I mean, does the mayor have financial gain? Does he have contracts? I mean, what's his position? I mean, what drives these people? Have you been able to, like, really figure out why, especially in Portland, where we get this idea that it's, I mean, why is there such rampant police abuse? I guess across the nation, but Portland's a really good indicator of, you know, the abuse. Is it just blatant racism? Because most of the attacks are against Black people and poor people.
Right. It is racism. It's classism. It's racism. It's self-hatred. You know, it's white supremacy, it's poor education, and I'm talking about the public school system and what people learn across our country as they're growing up. You know, I mean, we're indoctrinated with a militaristic platitude. You know, everything we learn is how to be a good citizen. And what does that mean? It actually means being compliant. And that is how we grow up. You know, you don't question authority. You're never taught that. In fact, when you do question authority, you're thrown out of class or you're fired from your job, you know?
Well, George Bush took civics out of high school. So they're not even, just high school students are not taught civics anymore. So they get out of high school without even a basic idea of what our constitutional rights are. They have no idea. Imagine this, the same kids that all they've known is the corruption of the Bush administration, stealing the election, the 9/11 collapse being obviously done by people inside of our own government, the militarization, the Unpatriot Act. This is what our youth, this is why it's ironic that the millennials have this idea that they're free, and yet they have no concept, unless they go to college and get an education about what civics means and what our Constitution means. Most of them are just kind of going on a gut level, which I think speaks well to the young people, because most people behave and act honorably. And so this, what does that tell you is that most people are decent human beings, and you have to be corrupted in order to get swayed to harm other people. That's what I think. I don't think that most, I believe in the greater good of humanity. And I think that if we have any kind of saving grace, is the one saving grace, is that we are basically, humans are basically loving human beings. We have got to be taught how to hate. And it is easy to hate because it's easy to become what you hate. So there's so many, I wrote this poem once. One of the lines says, "Irony in life abounds." And that is really such the ironic part, because humans have such the capacity for great heights and great depths. And it really depends on your exposure to each one of those.
Yeah, it does. And at this point for me, watching how we got to this state of being, this collective state of mind, I don't have many good words to say about humanity anymore, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm just like, for me, like, it just is what I look at what as how I see it, you know, and I don't see a whole hell of a lot of humanity.
Well,
and I see
want peace more than anything. They are willing to be battered and abused because they want peace. They want to live like the whales live. Whales don't fight each other all the time. You know, whales live in harmony with their pods. They move around, but you don't see big warring factions of whales in the ocean. Do you know what I mean? It's. Really,
I do know what you mean. I'd so much rather be an animal than a human. I didn't want to accept this invitation, you know, to being here. I didn't have much to say about it. I had a little bit to say about it, but they made me come.
Yeah, you had. I personally believe we pick our parents, we pick our lives. So that's another whole conversation about spirituality. But, you know, so you were headed out to Portland, and the goal of this is to prevent the mayor from getting into his seat. Now, these actions, these laws have already been passed. Is there any net result that you could get out of these actions other than just annoying him?
Well, you know, he's going to be out of office in weeks. You know, so he's certainly not going to give up before just, you know, sitting out a few more weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't show up today. Like, that's actually what I think might happen, is he's not going to show up. Because why should he? Why? He doesn't need to. He's fled twice already. He's fled three times already. He fled by not allowing testimony, so he left the city council, you know, shut that down. He fled by making us, you know, sit in a separate building. Before testifying on Bridge Crane, you know, so one at a time people could come in and give this just ridiculous testimony, anti-cop testimony, using the word Bridge Crane, because it was a game to this guy. Then he fled again after having the cops hurt everybody on the street, you know, with tear gas. So, and then he fled again when the people showed up at his house, and he left his wife behind, you know, to, like, deal with it. And he fled to another town. So, for me, it'll be interesting to see if he shows up. I don't think he's gonna.
Well, after he leaves office, is there any way to get any of these injustices rectified? Is there a path to?
It's unclear. It's unclear. And since I'm not a lawyer, I don't even want to speculate. I hope it can be undone. I don't think that Ted Wheeler is the first thing, he's the new mayor. I don't think he's going to come in and let the first thing he does on his agenda be undoing what this mayor has done. I can't see that, because it's just going to bring a contentious vibe among straight thinkers, straight white thinkers, you know, or I should say non-thinkers, straight suburbanites in Portland and yuppies, to not be on his side, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, of course, the side is, if you're black, you're wrong. And if you fight wrong, you're wrong. So everything else is right, you know? So he's not going to come in here and flip the table on himself in order to do that. Plus, we don't know what job he's going to take, if he's going to take the police chief thing, or if he's commissioner thing, or if he's going to give that to someone else. But even if he did, the contract is still signed.
Right. Right.
So that's going to require some heavy law by probably the Department of Justice, who has been looking into Portland's police system for years now, to which Mayor Hales, this current mayor, said, fuck you. And he told the DOJ, fuck off, you can't come in here and tell us what to do. And they were like, we're the DOJ. And he said, we're a city. We're part of the state. You can't come in here and do that. And that was his response to the DOJ coming in 2 years ago and saying, we have you in our line of vision. And of course, the ironic part is, so what? So the DOJ says that and does nothing, right?
Yeah,
back
DOJ
to
really
the government is not going to do anything for you.
That's
ever.
Exactly right.
Ever. Except kill you.
Well, especially now, because it's really, I mean, I know a lot of us have this really deep foreboding about what's going to happen after the election. And something is going to happen, and it's not going to be pleasant. I mean, that's the issue, is that we know, we can see it coming. It's on its way. But what I encourage people to do is pay attention to your own city councils, because the reason they get away with these things is because nobody's looking. And the reason that they're having any type of conflict at all is because there are activists in Portland who are paying attention, who are just saying, you know what, we are going to stick up for humanity, and frankly, we're going to stick up for our Constitution, because this is really the fascism inches its way in. We have a Constitution that has been inked away little by little. Right now, we have what is not even an election, it's a selection. When people, to me, refer to Hillary Clinton as a candidate, I get infuriated, because she's not a candidate. She's an election fraudster. She stole the election, knowingly stole the election. And we know that she's going to win the election. That is not free and fair elections. A democracy is when you have free and fair elections. And by no means do we have that in our country. However, at the local level, they're not concerned enough at the local levels, because just like this mayor, he's taking orders from someone to militarize the police. And the police officers who get trained are taking orders to view us as the enemy, to view us as we need to comply to them. This is one of my big complaints about the police these days. They want us to give them military-style respect. If you don't treat them with military like they're our freaking drill sergeant, if we don't talk to them with complete respect, they feel they have the authority to abuse us. And that is the wrongheadedness of how everything is going. And I think the whole goal of your action, Mimi, really more than anything, is just to like poke a pin in the balloon. Because really, they're overinflated. They will collapse on their own self. But it is very important. And the reason I love having you on the air is because you show people how to take action at a local level, how to come up with different ideas. Like, who would have thought to just go sit in the mayor's chair? I'm going to get there early, and I'm going to go sit in his chair.
Well, I was actually trying to get Jesse to sit in his chair, because Jesse ran for mayor and received votes for mayor, and I want to block the mayor so that he can't get to his chair so Jesse can sit in that chair, you know?
Okay.
I would never want to be mayor, so it's not something I want to do to take his chair, but I did want Jesse to get in his chair. I wanted to help facilitate that to happen, so I wrote to Jesse and said...
How many people are going to be involved in this action? It's just going to be you?
Today?
Yeah.
Well, the action to block the mayor is just me. That's just mine, you know? Like, that's something that I want to do, so I'm going to do that. Everybody else is doing whatever the hell they want to do, and they will show up. There's a lot... People want to testify today. People want to talk about this in city council, and that's going to happen. And I'm guessing there's going to be at least 100 people there today.
Wow.
That's
a lot of.
There might be more.
That's a lot of engagement at the city council level.
Well, it's been coming because, you know, we've been working at stopping this police contract for over a month. The mayor started this process behind closed doors in June. Then he gave the public like 2 days, if, to read through the entire contract. It could have been one day, I can't remember. And then all of this public outcry came out, which was about 5 weeks to a month ago, you know. And that's when things just escalated every single day, because the mayor was making up rules as he went along. Like, you can shut down city council because, you know, you feel like it, and you can keep the public from testifying when it's a law that we get to testify, you know, and we get to put our opinions out there about what we think, how our city should be run. So what he's showing is that back to the government's never going to help you and they're going to hurt you, he is exemplifying that rule. That is the new rule of law. And so we're going to just say, great, I'm going to go home and eat bologna, you know, and my disgusting fast food sandwiches and not even think about it. Or I'm going to be like, shit, this is so wrong, man. It's a local level, and I'm going to go do something about it, whatever the hell I can. And for me, today, I want to stop the mayor from walking in the doors of city council because he fled. He doesn't get to come back in, as far as I'm concerned. So that's my action today.
Well, I'm proud of you, and I'm really proud to know you, and thank you for joining me. I mean, we have a few minutes left. Let's remind people, the NoNukesNorthwest.org website is down, folks. It has not, there's been a technical glitch on getting it up. We're definitely working on it. In full disclosure, I'm actually part of No Nukes Northwest. And so it's something that we're going to be getting going and really taking steam on. The organization is still very much alive. So this idea about engaging these solar panels is still something that we can do. If you want to contribute to No Nukes Northwest, you can go to our PayPal site, make a contribution. And while I'm asking for contributions, I would actually suggest that if you can contribute to UCY.TV, because this show is run on contributions and it does make a huge difference. So you can go to the website there at UCY.TV and make a contribution there also. So we have just a few minutes left. Mimi, is there anything you wanted to say or end with? Anything important that we've missed?
You know, I want to encourage people to understand that we no longer have tomorrow. Tomorrow's gone, and it happened right before our eyes. So if there's anything that you have left to say to those you love, or a loving deed or act or thought to share with anybody, do it today. And keep your plate as clean as you can. So when that bus hits you in the back, you've said everything that needed to be said, and you've done as many good things as were on your plate as you can possibly do. Stop thinking about tomorrow and act today.
Yeah, that is actually astounding advice, and exactly right. Act today. Stop thinking about tomorrow and act today. But keep your eye on actions. Like, you are planning for June. Like you said, you know, No Nukes Northwest needs a kayak to be in the river to stop the warships from coming in. So
we need 20. We need 20. So if somebody has money, we need a fleet. So, you know, universe and all of those in it, floating about on this planet. Yeah. If you've got some money and you want to help us do that, we need a fleet of kayaks.
Yeah. To keep them from coming up the river and, edifying war. I agree with you completely. There was a really great book called Secrets, and one of the secrets in that book that they discovered, they were talking about all the different kinds of secrets that we keep in our society. One of them is that we edify war, and war is a terrible thing. Everybody that goes through war, our soldiers don't come back better men because of war. Everybody gets traumatized. War is a horrible act of aggression that needs to end. And there are different ways. We don't need to live in a militaristic style environment. That is for sure. So I really am a pacifist. I do not believe in war, and I do not believe that, you know, and you know, we've got some big heavy generals out there very intent on killing people. They have no regard for human life whatsoever, which is why they allow the nuclear industry just to keep spewing out radiation from what I call the Fukushima radioactive volcano. So, look, we have 20 seconds left on the show. So I wanted to thank you, Mimi, for joining me. At some point, I hope to get Ray McGovern on the show, unless he's COINTELPRO. But even if he is, he's still welcome, because I'd like to talk to him. I don't care. I'll talk to the CIA. Anyways, put your courage feet on. Take some action. Do it today. Take action and live for today. Take care, you guys. We'll talk to you on Friday. Ciao.